Welcome to the PrivCap Podcast, where leading professionals in private equity and institutional real estate share best practices, investment ideas, and everything you need to succeed in the private capital industry.
Hi, I'm Ben Gibbons, National Private Equity Leader for RSM Canada, and I'm pleased to introduce Rod Senf, Chairman and Founder of Tricor Pacific Capital, for this Powerhouse in Private Equity episode. Welcome, Rod.
Thank you, Ben. It's great to be here.
So when you're talking then to a founder, what's the key message that you want to leave a founder with as you're kind of, you know, effectively pitching Tricor as a good partner for them?
We want them to understand that money comes with people attached, right? So you're not going to have a shortage of finding capital to take you out. That's what your process is going to deliver for you. But if money comes with people attached, what are you additionally trying to achieve? Because we'll all get into the zip code of what the business is worth. You know, we'll all probably get into that thing. So if he wants to absolutely just maximize price, if price is the only thing, then we're probably not the right buyer for him. And so we really want to make that clear, because we don't want to waste his time and we don't want to waste our time. But if he cares about his legacy, and he doesn't want the company back on the market in 3 years, where they've taken out a bunch of costs, they've maybe built the company up a bit. If he doesn't want that really quick flip, and he really cares about his culture and the company that he's built, and he wants to hang around the rim for 3 to 5 more years, then we're probably a partner of choice. We should be the kind of partner that you can check our track record, you can check who we are. Oftentimes our deals are where the founder says, I hear you, but I've never worked for anybody before and I'm not going to work for you now. So I'm selling 100%. Well, we're okay with that because we have our own leadership teams that are industry experienced. So that's where we differentiate in part from private equity funds.
You know, you founded Tricor Pacific in 96. What kind of influenced that decision?
Prior to forming Tricor, I'd practiced law for a number of years. But the 5 years prior to that, I'd been the CEO of a company in the US that we'd bought from Weyerhaeuser called Heinz Nurseries. And when we sold it, we had this, you know, terrific home run. We'd sold it to Madison Dearborn. We learned a lot leading that company, and we really enjoyed being partners together. So when we sold the company, we suddenly had capital to deploy on our own. We didn't really want to raise a fund in those days, but what we did want to do is bring in another significant capital partner. So he introduced us to BCIMC, Doug Pierce. So our timing was good, and we formed Tricor, which sounds sort of corny, but Tricor was three guys who shared the same core values, and we found that that values-based approach to investing really worked for us.
So kind of fast forward through the years of Tricor, how did your role at Tricor kind of evolve and change as the years have kind of gone on since then?
Well, it evolved because we grew so much, and you know, you went from being really spending most of your time actively engaged with management teams, because what we were looking for was management teams that we thought were really excellent.
And how did you see the private equity market evolving, you know, over that period of time as well?
More and more capital poured in. And as the capital poured in, and I think particularly with the advent of the big pension funds doing direct investing, and with the advent of the lower costs of capital, you started to see IRR compression. That's changed the industry quite a bit, because it's changed the economics, I think, for private equity. Today, when you're modeling the IRR, you better have an investment thesis of what you're going to do with this business, because the cushion just isn't the same. Right. And to achieve superior returns, you better have a highly developed investment thesis that you can, you know, that you can execute on.
As we think about where Tricor is today, it is somewhat in effect a bit of a multi-strategy family office. Is some of that shift, is that kind of driven by, you know, some of that IRR compression, but also is it due to, you know, some other factors?
As you're under more pressure to raise more funds, for us generally, being in that almost perpetual fundraising mode meant that we were selling our winners quicker to demonstrate that we'd achieved superior results and you're in the top quartile and all the stuff you have to demonstrate. And so we were selling our winners faster, and I don't think we were like many of us. I think that the kind of investing we're doing needs longer time. It needs, you know, 5 to 7 years. Our thesis was we wanted to keep our own capital invested longer in companies where we were achieving, you know, significantly superior returns. And to do that, I wanted to invest in a longer term horizon.
Is there a company that kind of stands out?
So Premium Brands is my favorite company.
Sure.
We invested in it as a family in 2005. Mm-hmm. They were doing 14 million of EBITDA. Today, we're still invested. Mm-hmm. They're doing about 3.5 billion, close to 4 billion in sales. They do about 300 and say roughly 25 to 50 million of EBITDA. Mm-hmm. And our family still owns every share that we ever bought. And the stock has gone from $9 when we bought it to about $90 today, and with dividends all the way along. So that's the poster child.
Can you talk to me about, you know, kind of the thought process there behind the different verticals and kind of why some of those verticals and not others?
We've got capital to deploy. We want to deploy that capital not in one stream. We want to have a diversified capital deployment strategy. So the real estate component makes sense. The food component makes sense. The Tricor Diversified makes sense, which is industrial welding products. It's intermodal trucking. It's building products. And the major holdings in Premium Brands and existing companies. The commonality to those verticals generally is great people. If you went through each of the enterprises, you'd see that kind of a theme. The real estate is led by, you know, Dal Balamuth and Hamid Akhmadian, two exceptionally talented guys. So when we find exceptional human talent and we have capital to deploy, we look for a vertical that they can lead. And sometimes we get lucky, it's the vertical has the exceptional team, you know.
Do you have a philosophy around how you are assessing human talent at the front end of a transaction before you've kind of, you know, managed to kind of be with them for a period of time? Is there a secret sauce there that kind of Tricor uses?
I don't know there's a secret sauce, but there is a sort of, there's no one exact right leadership style. They've got a driving ambition. They've almost got a hole that can't be filled. And even when they succeed, they keep wanting to succeed, you know, like they keep wanting to build. They're builders. They get their joy and their thrill out of building. You think of why Navy SEALs succeed, because those guys won't quit, right? And when we invest, it's unbelievable how many terrible, horrible, no good things happen on the way to the forum, you know? Like, stuff happens. And we need people who just stick through it.
Like what you hear on the PrivCap podcast? Visit PrivCap.com for more thought leadership interviews, articles, reports, webinars, and more.